In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Your family, today's First Friday, so right after Holy Mass and distribution of Holy Communion, I will have simple exposition of the Blessed Sacrament for First Friday adoration, and then hear confessions in the sacristy. Dear family, today is the feast of the martyr, Saint Boniface, and his words, which we'll hear in a little bit, taken from the Office of Readings, along with today's readings from Sacred Scripture, are so providential on this 10th day of grotesque insurrection and rioting as we see around the country. Insurrection from the most intolerant, you know how the saying goes, the most intolerant are those who preach tolerance. Insurrection from the most intolerant and radical left-wing elements known as Antifa or Antifa, meaning anti-fascism, though the methodology Antifa uses is, by definition, fascist. So many people do not understand that Antifa is not an acronym. Antifa is just a shortened version of two words, anti-fascism. And so many people do not even understand what fascism is. So they do not recognize Antifa for what it is, even when it's staring them in the face. So, dear family, at least let us be clear on what it is and then apply our sacred scripture and Saint Boniface's words to it. Fascism is a political philosophy, movement, or regime that exalts a nation and often race above the individual, and it stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation. Two words for socialism and communism. It stands for severe economic and social regimentation. Listen closely, forcible suppression of opposition. Well, Hitler, as we know, was a radical right-wing fascist. And initially, he used people known as brown shirts because of the color of their uniform to plunder, loot, burn, and destroy those in opposition to him. You know, take note that I think it was like only 8% of Germany were members of the Nazis, the National Socialist Party, and yet look what they were able to achieve, because an organized minority can defeat the disorganized majority every time. Jesse Jackson even said that once. Well, theoretically, Antifa would be opposed to any modern-day Hitler. And in our country, Antifa continues to tell the big lie that, well, they're there because Trump is a fascist, because he wants to make America great again. Well, dear family, as you know, I've been to Auschwitz 10 times, and I know what Hitler was. And to denigrate the magnitude of his evil by comparing Trump to him is a fine example of the big lie. Hitler himself came up with that phrase. It was in Mein Kampf. Hitler himself said, the bigger the lie told often enough, the more ignorant, uninformed, uneducated, low-information people will believe it. Sadly, we see this at work in the left-wing media, which keeps trumpeting the big lie, even though their conduct literally is damnable when they do so, because it's a knowing and intentional violation of the Eighth Commandment. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor, and whether you like it or not, elections have consequences, and that applies to Trump. The truth is that just as Hitler's brown shirts created chaos and destruction as a means to achieve their end, to frighten the people, to scare them into submission, the disorganized ones, all you need to know about the evil that is Antifa is to watch them in their black uniforms, inciting riot and chaos, looting and burning and attacking the police, our law enforcement officers. God bless our law enforcement officers. We should pray for them every single day. Socialist Antifa actually used the same evil techniques as Hitler. That's why we finally are recognizing them for who they are, domestic terrorists. And unfortunately, there are a significant amount of people, You've seen them on TV over the last 10 days, who are, using the term attributed to Lenin, useful idiots who join right in with Antifa tactics and thus equally are culpable for the looting, destruction, and burning. Get this straight, dear family, that by definition, Antifa is the economic opposite of all that has made America great. The ownership of private property, individual work ethic. Fascism is socialism, also known as communism. And we've grown up knowing exactly the evil that communism is. No private property whatsoever, and the state owns not only the means of production, but everything else. Socialism is fundamentally evil to the core, and that is Antifa. But again, as always, that is not my opinion. Pope Pius IX, Pope from 1846 to 1878, published his encyclical Gnosis et Nobiscum on December 8, 1849, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Quote, "You are aware indeed that the goal of this most iniquitous plot is to drive people to overthrow the entire order of human affairs. Look what's going on. Just saw where, what, Minneapolis, the head of the city council, who's somehow related, might be the son of the governor, says, we want to get rid of all the police, get rid of law enforcement. Yeah, great idea. How did he get into office? 1 Samuel 8, the people up there deserve exactly what they get. And God isn't going to look down upon them and say, oh, yeah, I'll have pity on you. No. He's going to say, I told you so. 1 Samuel 8. You are aware indeed that the goal of this most iniquitous plot is to drive people to overthrow the entire order of human affairs and to draw them over to the wicked theories of socialism and communism by confusing them with perverted teachings. That's from the encyclical Gnosis et Nobiscum, December 8, 1849. Pope Leo XIII, Pope from 1878 to 1903, wrote in his 1878 encyclical, quote, Apostolici Muneris, that socialists were a sect that threatens civil society with destruction. We've seen them on TV the last 10 days. 23 years later, Pope Leo XIII wrote in his 1901 encyclical, Gravis De Communi, that socialism was the enemy of society and of religion. What does communism do? It tries to stamp out religion. Pope St. Pius X was Pope from 1903 to 1914. In 1910, he wrote his apostolic letter, Notre Charge Apostolique, to the French bishops, condemning the French socialist movement. Pope Benedict XV, Pope from 1914 to 1922, wrote in his 1914 encyclical, Ad Beatissimi Apostolorum, that the condemnation of socialism should never be forgotten. What part of you can't vote for Bernie Sanders because he's an avowed socialist are we faithful, people of faith, not getting? How dare any Catholic even dream of voting for a socialist? What part of condemnation of socialism should never be forgotten? Pope Pius XI, Pope from 1922 to 1939, wrote in his 1931 encyclical, Quadragesimo Anno, that socialism was fundamentally contrary to Christian truth. So again, my statement that socialism is pure evil is not my opinion, but merely a restatement of those five straight popes from 1846, before the Civil War in the United States, to 1939, on the eve of World War II. A period of 93 years, all saying the same thing, socialism is evil. Then we have the next pope, Blessed Pius XII. In 1952, he gave an address in Vienna saying, the church will fight to the end in defense of supreme values threatened by socialism. Pope St. John the 23rd, Pope from 1958 to 1963, in his 1961 encyclical, Mater et Magistra, wrote that no Catholic could subscribe even to moderate socialism. So it's not just a little bit of socialism is okay. No. Let us comprehend what this most liberal of the last 11 popes taught in a papal encyclical. No Catholic could subscribe even to moderate socialism. We cannot be part of anything that promotes socialism. Pope St. Paul VI, Pope from 1963 to 1978, wrote in his 1971 apostolic letter, Octogesima Adveniens, too often Christians tend to idealize socialism. Let me tell you, Jesus was not a socialist. The big lie, oh, look, if they all held everything in community. It's a big lie that they use to try to justify their socialist, their evil socialist ideology. And then Pope St. John Paul II, Pope from 1978 to 2005, wrote in his 1991 encyclical, Centesimus Annus, on the 100th anniversary of Pope Leo XIII's Rerum Novarum, the fundamental error of socialism was a mistaken conception of the person. In other words, a person doesn't count. It's all the state. Finally, Pope Benedict XVI, Pope from 2005 to 2013, wrote in his 2005 encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, we do not need a state which regulates and controls everything. In summary, the last 11 popes have taught us about the evil of socialism, from Pope Pius IX through Benedict XVI, from 1846 to 2013, 167 straight years. Therefore, dear family, the absolutely inescapable conclusion is that socialist communist Antifa is evil to the core. And of course, all we need to know to understand and to prove that is just to have looked at the TV at some point over the last 10 days at Antifa's insurrection, as well as the evil, useful idiots who join right in looting, plundering, and burning. Now let us turn to today's sacred scripture and the martyr Saint Boniface to understand this unchanged, unchangeable truth of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. This morning we heard from the Old Testament, from the Psalms. They still count. They still count. Sacred scripture, the Psalms, Old Testament, the Psalms, which as a whole pretty much encompass any and all of possible life circumstances. Seven times we repeated the affirmation, O Lord, great peace have they who love your law. Or to reverse the order of the words to understand it from a different angle, those who love your law have great peace. So for starters today, just take this sacred scripture from the Psalms are indeed sacred and apply it to the vile and despicable pillaging and looting and burning caused by Antifa and the useful idiots, even physical harm and death to law enforcement officers. And just realize the absolute truth. They clearly do not have great peace because they do not love God's law. You can't love God's law and do what they do. It really is just that simple. Though, if you call them out for what they are based on what they are doing, many will play their, oh, but it's okay because I'm such a poor, poor victim card. Many will play that. Many just can't stand the truth, and they will persecute you just like they persecuted Jesus, truth himself, and just like they persecuted St. Paul. We heard about how St. Paul was persecuted for speaking the truth and endured much suffering in today's first New Testament passage from sacred scripture, the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, quote, you have followed my teaching, way of life, purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, persecutions that I endured. I remember recently we pondered all the hell St. Paul endured on his four missionary trips in such places as Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Remember how it went down? Some Jews from Antioch and Iconium arrived in Lystra and won over the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. That's what St. Paul was talking about. Now listen to what came next in St. Paul's second letter to Timothy on how St. Paul handled all that, recognizing the truth of what Jesus said about how if the world hated him, it would hate us too, quote, yet from all these things, the Lord delivered me. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. To him we look for deliverance, for grace to endure, and for deliverance And then listen to what St. Paul said next, re-emphasizing what he already said. In fact, all who want to live religiously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not might be, will be persecuted. But wicked people and charlatans will go from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. We see the deceivers in Antifa. We see the deceived in all those people following them, like lemmings, like useful idiots. Honestly, dear family, as we look around us today, is this not exactly what we are seeing played out before our very eyes? What we are seeing is exactly what Paul wrote to Timothy just before the words that we heard today in today's first passage. Listen to them and be stunned at their providential application to the pillaging, the looting, and the burning by those who do not love the Lord's law and do not have peace. Quote, but understand this, there will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered and lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, slanderous, licentious, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make a pretense of religion but deny its power. Reject them. That's a quote. And then St. Paul went into describing what we heard today. Now look at today's gospel acclamation, the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, quote, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. The Antifa domestic terrorists and the culpable useful idiots who join in with the pillaging, looting, and burning are not keeping Jesus' words, and our Father will not love them nor come to them. Again, not my opinion. Jesus said it. That's the truth. If people don't like the truth, tough. That's their problem. Jesus said it, period. End of debate. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. We have enough brains, though, to figure it out in our brains and our heads to know the evil when we see it taking place in our cities. Listen, dear family, every stolen pair of Nikes, every burned up police car tells us all we need to know about Antifa and the useful idiots. And now look at today's gospel, where a great crowd was listening to Jesus. Not a small gathering, but a great crowd. And the crowd was delighted by his teaching. If only great crowds of Catholics today were so delighted with Jesus' word. If only they loved Jesus' word and thus kept Jesus' word. If only they filled the churches like the crowd listening to Jesus' words that day. Only great shepherds like St. Boniface were alive in our day. Shepherds who would steer the church well in the midst of all this storm. Steer the church along the narrow road by proclaiming, as did St. Boniface, the teaching of Jesus. Let us approach our conclusion here by reading from a letter of St. Boniface, bishop and martyr, entitled, The Careful Shepherd Watches Over Christ's Flock. The words of St. Boniface, quote, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon the ship, but to keep her on her course. The ancient fathers showed us how we should carry out this duty. Clement, Cornelius, here are the names in the Roman canon, Clement, Cornelius, and many others in the city of Rome, Cyprian of Carthage, Athanasius of Alexandria, the great Athanasius, Athanasius contra mundo, Athanasius against the world. They all lived under emperors who were pagans. They all steered Christ's ship, or rather his most dear spouse, the church. This they did by teaching and defending her, by their labors and sufferings, even to the shedding of blood. Watch what St. Boniface says next. I am terrified when I think of all this. Fear and trembling came upon me, and the darkness of my sins almost covered me. I would gladly give up the task of guiding the church, which I have accepted, if I could find such an action warranted by the example of the fathers or of Holy Scripture. Since this is the case, and since the truth can be assaulted but never defeated or falsified, with our tired mind, let us turn to the words of Solomon. Again, turning to sacred scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own prudence. He would say that, of course, because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, not any human. He continues, think on him in all your ways, and he will guide your steps. In another place, he says, the name of the Lord is an impregnable tower. The just man seeks refuge in it, and he will be saved. St. Boniface, Bishop and Martyr, continues, let us stand fast in what is right and prepare our souls for trial. So you see, dear family, the trial's coming. Let us wait upon God's strengthening aid and say to him, O Lord, you have been our refuge in all generations. Let us trust in him who has placed this burden upon us. What we ourselves cannot bear, let us bear with the help of Christ. For he is all-powerful, and he tells us, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us continue the fight on the day of the Lord. The days of anguish and of tribulation have overtaken us. If God so wills, let us die for the holy laws of our fathers, so that we may deserve to obtain an eternal inheritance with them. And finally says, let us be neither dogs that do not bark, nor silent onlookers, nor paid servants who run away before the wolf. Instead, let us be careful shepherds watching over Christ's flock. Don't say nothing. Let's not hear crickets. The job of the shepherd is to bark like a dog. That's what you're called to do. Be the guardian of the sheep. Nor be silent onlookers. Don't just stand there and look around. Let's hear the truth of the church. St. Boniface continues, let us preach the whole of God's plan to the powerful and to the humble, to the rich and to the poor, to men of every rank and age, as far as God gives us the strength, in season and out of season, as St. Gregory writes in his book of pastoral instruction. Well, dear family, today we find the words of the martyr St. Boniface, and in today's readings from sacred scriptures, today's psalm, the letter to Timothy, the gospel acclamation from St. John, and the gospel, they all are providential teaching on this 10th day of grotesque insurrection and rioting. Insurrection from the most intolerant and radical left-wing elements, the domestic terrorists known as Antifa, and the useful idiots that join right in. Let us unwaveringly adhere to the unchangeable truth summed up in our gospel acclamation. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. You ever wonder what that actually means? What did Jesus say? This is beautiful. He said, if I go, I will come back and take you, pick you up, to take you to a place that I will have prepared for you. So when you consider that these words apply to our death, our martyrdom, red or white, it applies to our death. Our Father will love, my Father and I will love him and come to him. If they just keep my words, I will come so that where I am, you also may be. That is a beautiful, beautiful expression. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Let us unwaveringly adhere to that unchangeable truth, because we know where, we can do this in peace, we know where peace may be found in the midst of the storm all around us. We said it 7 times. O Lord, great peace have they who love your law. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.